Okay, we're going to start here with the Mishnah on the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Dama sheretz v'abasar mitzdarfim zeim ze." The blood of a sheretz and its flesh are mitzdareif for a single unit to make up the ke'adasha that you need by the sheretz. Klal amar Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua lays out for us a principle about the tziruf that we discussed in the Mishnayot until now. Kol shetumato v'shi'uro shavim mitzdarfim. If the level of tumah as well as the shear of tumah, quantity of tumah, are equal, then they can be mitzdareif. Tumato v'lo shi'uro. They have the same level of tumah, but their shear is different. So for instance, the case of nevela and sheretz. When you come to nevela, the din is that it gives off tumat erev. You're only tumah for a single day. You go to the mikveh, the sun sets, you're tahor. But the size that you use is a kazayit. On the other hand, if you have too much sheretz, it's also only tumah for a single day, it's tumat erev, but its shiur is ke'adasho. So tumato, their tumah is the same level, but lo shiuro, but their size, the quantity to become tameh, are different. Shiuro v'lo tumato. On the other hand, if something has a shiur that is equal, but the tumah is not equal, so for instance, kazayit nevela and kazayit minamet. Over there, both of them, in order to be mitameh, is a kazayit. But tumat hanevela is only tumat erev. Tumat amet is tumat shiva. Lo tumato v'lo shi'uro. If the tumat and the shir are not equal, so there's a case between kezayit amet and ke'adash of a sheretz. Over there, their tumat is not equal because tumat amet is shiva, tumat sheretz is for tumat erev. And the shir is not equal because tumat amet is a kezayit and tumat sheretz is ke'adash. Ain mitzdarfim. In those three permutations, they are not mitzdareif. Only when you have both the tumah and the shi'ur that are equal, is it mitzdareif. Amar Rav Chanin, Amar Rav. So now here there's a big problem in the girsa. Amar Rav Chanin, Amar Rav. And then if you look over in the Masorah Tashas, he says, Davko dam asheretz ubsaro. So Rav Chanin Amar Rav says that when we talk about the dam asheretz that's mitzdareif to the basar, that's only if we're talking about the basar and dam of a single sheretz. It's the sheretz's basar and its dam itself that are mitzdareif. So that's the statement of Rav Chanin Amar Rav. Then we have Meitavei, Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina challenges that statement of Rav Chanin Amar Rav. Hatimein. So Rashi says from the extra hay here, the extra hay of hatimeim, we learn out, malameid, shehein mitzdarfim, that they are mitzdarif. Afilu sheretz v'sheretz, sheretz v'dam, bein mishem echad, bein mishnei shemot. That two different shretzim can be mitzdarif to make up the ke'adasha that you need. Sheretz and dam, like we said in our Mishnah, the basar and the dam are mitzdarif. Bein mishem echad, bein mishnei shemot means whether it's one sheretz or two shretzim. You see clearly here from this limud in the Braita that Hatmeim comes to teach you that you can be mitzareif even dam from one sheretz to basar and another sheretz. It's not like what Rav said, which is that only the dam and basar of a single sheretz are mitzareif. Sam Rav Yosef Lukasha. Kan be kulo, kan be mikzato. Depends on whether it's the whole or a part of it. So as Rashi explains to us, what does it mean? Kan be kulo, if you have an entirety of a sheretz, and from that sheretz emanates dam, that dam can be mitzdareif with basar. Since it's coming from a dover chashuv, because it comes from a makom chashuv, therefore, they are considered or able to be mitzdareif. On the other hand, kan be mikzato. If you only have a portion of a sheretz, even though it's emitting dam, that dam from the portion of the sheretz will not be mitzdareif with another sheretz, because it's not coming from a makom chashuv. Because whether you have a whole sheretz, the dam is emanating from an entire sheretz, where it's coming from a makom chashuv, that dam has enough status where it'll be mitzdareif with another sheretz. But if it's a mikzato, a portion of a sheretz, just a piece of a sheretz, and the dam is emanating from there, that dam will be mitzdareif with that sheretz, or that piece of the sheretz, but it will not be mitzdareif with another sheretz, because it's not chashuv, and therefore it will not be mitzdareif with another sheretz. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosafot, on the other hand, learns that kan bekulo, kan bemikzato, Tosafot says, perush, hadakamar hatam demitzdarfim. In the case where we say they are mitzdareif de breita, afagab de bay mishnei shretzim, even though they come from two different shretzim, kagon, shenoga bekulo, The dam uba basar, when you touch the entirety of it, the dam and the basar. V'adu kamar zi'iri, and Tosfot has a different girsa than we have. Tosfot has Amar Rav Chanin, Amar zi'iri, not Rav Ziri, but zi'iri. The davka misheretz echad. That's only true for one sheretz. V'lami bet sheretzim gagon. Shno gaga elu b'miksato, b'dam o b'basar. He only touched either the dam or the basar. V'hachi kamar dechi heim misheretz echad. If they come from one sheretz, mitztarvim. Davi kilu adam v'basar mechubarim. It's as if they are joined ke'achad. Alka v'sheim mishnei shratzim, kochad v'chad davar b'fnei atzmohu. They are independent items. So the way Tosafot learns, the kan b'kulo, kan b'miksato, means if you touch the entirety of the dam and the basar, and if you touch them together, then you could be mitameh, even though the dam is not from the same basar, is not from the same unit. But if you're touching them separately, if you're coming into contact with them when they're separated, then the dam is independent of the basar, and therefore the dam and the basar will not be mitzareif. And that's the statement of Rav Chanan Amar Ziri or Rav Chanan Amar Rav, that they're not mitzareif. So Rashi again says it has to do with the entity itself. If you have a whole sheretz and the dam emanates from it, that's when that dam will be mitzareif with other shretzim. If you have miksato, if you only have a portion of a sheretz, then the dam that emanates from there will only be mitzareif with that sheretz itself, but not with another sheretz. Tosafot, again, says it has to do with what you come into contact with. If you are touching both the basar and the dam, then they give you mitzareif, even if it comes from two shretzim. But if you're only in contact with one, either the basar or the dam, they're considered to be a single entity when they come from a single sheretz. And therefore, it's as if you touched both of them if they came from a single sheretz. But if they're from two shretzim, there's nothing to make them into a single unit. And therefore, if you only touch the basar or only touch the dam, they won't meet mitzareif. In order for them to meet mitzareif, when they come from two, you have to touch both the basar and the dam, each independently, separately. You can't have it that you're coming into contact through one of the two items. By touching one, then you're automatically in touch with the other. That's true when it's a single sheretz, not when it is two shretzim. How can I prove that to you that that's the case? Midatanya, we have a bright nishpach al rizpah, dam of a mate that fell on the floor, vaya mikoma katpres, and the location was an incline. Ihel al miktzato tohor. He's only ma'il on a portion of it. He is tohor. Ihel al kulo tamei. If he's ma'il on the whole thing, he is tamei. My miktzato. What does that mean? That he's ma'il came over or stood over only a portion of it. Ilema miksata dam. If it's only a portion of the dam, v'amar Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Reviyat dam shehi gisba tehora. That a person who is mixing a revi'it dam is tahor. He's trying to prove that there's a difference between miksato and kulo. So we have to know, where is this derived from? Where is this difference between miksato and kulo derived from? So now they're trying to prove it from this breita by the dam. He brought a breita by the dam, which is nishpach al ritzpah, v'yam akumak katpreis, yel al miksato tahor. Yel al kulo tameis. So you see a difference between miksato and kulo. Okay, the question is, what are we talking about? What is miksato here and what is kulo? So he says, if you want to suggest that it means miksata dam, all that it means over here is a portion of the dam, meaning that it's not a revi'it dam. Revi'it dam min amet is what is mitameh. So if you want to say that it is ila miksato, then maybe he wasn't mahil on the entirety of revi'it dam min amet. Right? That sounds like if he's mahil on the whole thing. Revi'it dam min amet, tameh, mahil on miksato, he is tahor. Mar says then, well, that's not necessarily true, because we have the statement by Rebbe, who says that if you have a revi'it dam, which is enough, kulo, that's enough to be mitameh, and you're mixing it, and as Rashi says, it's impossible that you were not mahil alav, possible that you did not lean over it, nevertheless, you are tahor. So how do we reconcile between Rabbi and the Breito? So that reconciliation will get us to the point that distinguishes between kulo and miksato. Elav shmina, kan bil kulo, kan bil miksato. The difference between Rabbi and the Breito has to do whether it's kulo or miksato, shmamina. Not that you are mahil. In both cases, you're mahil on the full revi'it adam. The difference is where it derived from. Before we said it can't be that it's talking about that you only have miksat adam, you only have a portion of the dam, there are revi'it adam, because we have two dinim. By revi'it adam, I have a breita that's saying that you are tamei. By revi'it adam, I have Rebbe saying that you are tahor. So the explanation can't be about the amount of dam that you're mahil alav. It has to be where the dam derives from. And that's the answer. That if the dam derives from a whole mate, then if you're mahil alav, you are tamei. And that's what the breita says. The Braita says, if your mahil al kulo, kulo means that it came from a mate that was kulo, was shalem. And if a revi'at adam comes from a mate that is shalem, if your mahil on that revi'at adam, you will be tamei. Rabbi's statement is that your mahil on all the dam, but it came from nifsat mate. It did not come from a full mate, a full cadaver. Rather, it came from a portion or a limb, an aver of that mate. And therefore, you are tahor, even though you're mahil on a full revi'at dam. That's exactly the solution that was given by Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef's solution is to say that we differentiate between the source. If the source is a whole cadaver, then it can be mitameh. If the whole source is a whole sheretz, it can join with other shretzim. If the source is only a mitzata mate, a portion of a mate, then even though you get a full revi'at dam, it will not be mitameh if you're mahil alav. So too by the sheretz. If you only get a dam from a mix of the sheretz, then it will not be mitzareif with other shretzim. It will only be mitzareif with its own. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot, on the other hand, says that the proof is actually from the Braita itself. The Braita differentiates between Mixato and Kulo, the same way that Tosafot learned before. Depends if you're in contact with the whole thing or in contact with a piece of it. So by the Sheretz, if you're in contact with the whole thing, you're going to be Tamei no matter what the component parts are. Whereas if you're in contact with a part of it, it will make a difference whether it derived from a single entity or derived from multiple entities. Braita does exactly that. The Braita differentiates between coming into contact with Kulo, where you'll be Tamei, and coming into contact with Mitzato, where you're going to be Tahor. Now, then what is the statement of Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rebbe, which Tosfot actually has the gears of it. It's a statement from Rabbi Yochanan. Tosfot says, well, then what's the necessity of Rabbi Yochanan? The necessity of Rabbi Yochanan is to show you that you could explain the Braita. The reason he's Tahor by Mitzato is because there's less than a revi'at dam. Along comes the statement of Rebbe or Rabbi Yochanan and tells you that even when there is a revi'at dam, if you're only Mahila Mitzato, then you still remain Tahor. We don't automatically say, because you're in contact with Mixato, you're in contact with the whole thing. And therefore, that's the proof here, that there's a difference between Mixato and Kulo. When you're Mahil on Kulo, you're Tamei. You're Mahil on Mixato, you're not Tamei. And that's the same thing here. Mahil, Nogeya, they don't automatically conduct the Tuma from one item to the other. Whereas, when it's from a single entity, a single sheretz, we do say that the Tuma is conducted or connected, the Basar and the Dam. When they're from two entities, then we consider them to be separate items, and one does not conduct the tumah of the other. You have to be ma'il on the entirety of that one. We have to be in contact with the entirety of that object, the basar and the dam, in order for you to be tamei. The remaining of the Gemara today is really a story. It's an interesting and strange story all at once, which is, Sha'al Rabbi Matya ben Charash et Rabbi Shimon ba Yochai. So Rabbi Matya ben Charash asked Rabbi Shimon Yochai, our gears is Be'ir Romi, the gears of the Shita is Be'romi. Either way, if it's in Rome, it's an interesting story, because we know Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai in Bamei Badikin and Daf Lamed Gimel, the Gemara in Shabbos describes the altercations that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai has with Rome and the Roman authorities. He ends him up in the cave for an extended period of time because he's afraid of the Roman authorities. So the fact that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is found in Rome, it's an interesting... So you have two choices. One is to suggest it happened before he had the altercation. The other one is to say that it happened afterwards. Now, if it happened before, it's easy. But Rashi later on says that this happened after the case of the Me'ara, after the case of when he was in the Me'ara, and yet Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is found in Ir Romi. The Gemara is going to tell us the story when he's found in Ir Romi, but it's unusual that he's found there even though it's after this altercation with the Roman authorities. Minayin the Dam Shvatzim Shu Tamei. How do you know that Dam Shvatzim is Tamei? Now what we've said until now is, how do you know that the Dam Shvatzim is Mitzareif to the Basar? And there we learned that out from Hatameim. We didn't deal with the basic premise, which is how do you know that dam is tamei? So how do you know that dam is tamei? So therefore, that it'll be mitzareif with the basar. That's what separately. So Malay Damakra, the pasuk says, "Vezelachem ha tamei." So this is for you, the tamei. Rashi says that pasuk is unnecessary. Kai kram yutarhu, the drush of the midrashay beihachi to have this drush aktiv krachwina ela tameim lachem. These are those that are tamei for you. So the zelachem ha tamei is already extraneous, and therefore we'll learn out from that that the bas, not only is the basar tamei, but also the dam is tamei. Tosafot, on the other hand, says that you learn it out of yitura de vav, or yitura de hey. The vav of vi, ze, lachem ha-tamei, or ha-tamei, that hey, is where the limud comes from. Samar lo tamidav, chakim lei ben Yochai. So the tamidim of Rav Matya ben Charash say, what, Rav Shimon Yochai is smarter than you? He knows the answer, you didn't know this? Malem, tamud aruch bepiv, shevav lozer ber Rabbi Yossi. This is something that he picked up from Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi. It's actually not his own, but rather something that he learned from Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi, which is actually interesting because Rabbi Yossi is more of a peer to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Yossi was the next generation. We're going to see that in a second in the story. But Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Yossi had that Mesorah, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai had heard that Mesorah. Therefore, that's why he knows it. It's not because he's better or bigger Talmid Chacham than me. So now here comes the story. Shepam achad gzera malchut gzera. So the Romans were gozer the following gzerot. Shelo yishmeru et Shabbat. Not keep Shabbat. Shelo yimolu et bneihem. No more brit milah. Vishivalu et nidot. Or yishvalu nidot. That they were not allowed to keep Torah to Mishpacha. So there were ochre three pillars of Judaism. Shabbat, milah, and Torah to Mishpacha. Halach Rabbi Reuven ben Yisrobli. Siper kumi. So Rabbi Reuven ben Yisrobli goes in and gets a haircut, which was a unique haircut of the Roman aristocracy, and sometimes probably the Avodah Zarah that they worship, which is that they shave off the front of the head, and they leave in the back the hair long, like in a ponytail. And he sits down with them, as if he is a member of their class. So I'm with them, someone has an enemy, Ya'ani or Ya'ashir? You want to make them poor, or you want to make them rich? I'm like, oh, of course, Ya'ani, making them poor. Why are you giving them an extra day of work? They are working 6 days, and then they were used to be that they took off the seventh day. Now you're telling them work 7 days, they're going to make even more money. So why are you trying to make them richer? So they said, Amru Tavita Amar. Good point. Went ahead, Ubatul. They said, you're right, let's be Mevatalad, and they did that. Chazar Amar Lehem, Mishish Lo Yev Yachish, or Yavri. Someone has an enemy, do you make him weaker or stronger? Well, of course, Yachish. Let him get a brit milah, because that way be Yachishu, and that will weaken them. Amru, Tavita Amar. You said well, you spoke well, but do, and then Ravata the Gzera. Chazar, Ramalem, Mishishlo, oh yeah, your bail, Yitmait. You want them to have more children or less children? Amru, Yitmait. Of course, we want them to diminish in numbers. Simkein, Luivalu, Nidot. Why are you stopping them from Tarat HaMishpacha, when they keep the Alochot of Nida, they're not together with their wives for a longer period of time. You are forcing them to be together with their wives, even when they are an adult. So Amru, Tavita Amar, he spoke well. Ubatlua, and they eliminated it. It's questionable, because at the time that the woman is in Nida, during Tarat HaMishpacha, is usually the time when she's incapable of becoming pregnant. I'm assuming that there wasn't as strong an understanding of that over here, or maybe because sometimes the days of Tumat Ara overlap into the days when she become impregnated. I mean, today that's true because we're Choshesh for Zavah Gdola, but in the time of the Gemara, it may not have been that case because they only kept 7 days of Tumah Alpi HaTorah, but if she became a Zavah Gdola, maybe that was the case. All right, we'll leave that. I'm just pointing out that slight difficulty here. Hikirubo Chiyudi. They figured out that he was a Jew. He was a little bit too promotional about getting these gzerot removed. Hekzirum. And therefore, they put the gzerot back in place. Amru, mi yalech vivatelek the gzerot. Who are we going to send to Rome now that Reuven ben Yisrobli was already knocked out of the running? Who's going to be the next one to go? So they said, yalech Rav Shimon bar Yochai, shehu melumad ben Nisim. We should send Rav Shimon bar Yochai because we know that he's been steeped in miracles. And Rashi quotes what Mutnisim? Shinasul Nisim Bimara, that he was in the cave. So you see here that Rashi thinks the story took place after the incident with the cave and the altercation with the Romans, and yet they're gonna send him to Rome. Vacharab Miyelech. So who we're gonna send to accompany him? Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi. Those are the two that we're gonna send. So Amalem Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, V'ilu haya Abba Chalafta Kayam. Had Abba Chalafta been alive, meaning his father. That's Rabbi Yossi's father. Did you tell Abba Chalafta to give over his son Rabbi Yossi to death? Meaning this is a suicide mission. How could you ask the father to send him? So therefore, how could you say to me to send my son Rabbi Elazar? So Amar Rabbi Shimon replies to that statement of Rabbi Yossi. If my father Yochai was alive, could you say to Yochai, give your son Rabbi Shimon over to this suicide mission? Basically, Rabbi Shimon is chiding him, saying, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says what? The suicide mission's okay for me, but it's not good enough for Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai thinks here that Rabbi Yossi's fear is of the Romans. And he says, what, you're afraid of the Romans? So that fear is enough for you to hold back your son, Rabbi Elazar, but for me, that's not a good enough reason. You're going to send me on the suicide mission. You're not willing to send your son. So then we get the real truth. Amar lo Rabbi Yossi, Ana, Aslan Dilma, Anishle Rabbi Shimon, Dekar Mestafina. Now he says, I'll tell you the truth. The truth is, I'm not afraid of the Romans. I'm afraid of Rabbi Shimon. I'm afraid of sending my son, Rabbi Yossi, with Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon Yochai is a kabdan. And when he gets angry, things don't go so well. He ends up wiping out people. If you remember by the story of the Me'ara, when he first emerges from the Me'ara, they get upset about people that are working and doing things, and they burn up everything in their sight, both him and his son, Rabbi Lazar. Later on, Hashem says, send him back into the cave. You didn't learn the right lesson. And when they come out next time, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, everywhere he looked burnt up, and everywhere that Rabbi Shimon Yochai looked, it was rectified. We see a certain amount of kaptanut that Rabbi Shimon Yochai had. Now, Rabbi Yossi felt comfortable if he himself was going, because he was a peer to Rabbi Shimon Yochai, might even have been older than Rabbi Shimon Yochai, and therefore he felt that even if he passed an aloch or he said something, Rabbi Shimon Yochai couldn't be makpin on him. On the other hand, his son, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, was a Talmid, or should not have been able to speak in front of Rabbi Shimon Yochai. And therefore he was afraid that if Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi said something wrong or did something, Rabbi Shimon Yochai would wipe him out. So now, Kabi Lole, Dolole Anshe. Rabbi Shimon agrees that he won't punish Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi. So, Vilachi, Anshe. Despite his promises, he still went ahead and he got angry at him. Why? Because while they were going on the way, somebody threw out a question to them. Somebody stopped them. Two tamei chachamim, the traveler, stopped them asking the question. How do you know that dam hasheretz is tamei? He came pif, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi turned his mouth, curved his lips. Vamar, zelachem tamei. He gives the answer. Now, he gave the answer in that way because, one, either Rashi says he did it in a undertone, because he didn't want Rabbi Shimon Yochai to hear him, or, so it says, Meher Lashiv. He jumped in quickly to answer. Guess what happens? Of course, Amalei Rabbi Shimon, Me'akimatz Fatecha Atanikar. From the way your lips are curved or twisted, I know, you're a Talmid Chacham, I yechzor ben etzalav av. The son's not going back to see his father. Rabbi Shimon was makpid, that he's more halacha before his Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon Yochai. Plus Rabbi Yossi is a youngster, and he, either according to Tosfot, he was nivhal hashiv, he answered quickly, he jumped in to answer before Rabbi Shimon Yochai, or, according to Rashi, that he answered at all. That he answered it all, that he even said anything here in front of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, because it's more halacha b'fnei rabbo. Rabbi Shimon Yochai is makpid on that and says, gonna die. Here we don't have any more of the story. In the Yishalmi it says, shachzdo askara, that he was overtaken with askara, with this disease that causes some sort of choking, inability to breathe. And then, niskar Rabbi Shimon al shi'it nela shiva al aviv. Shimon, all of a sudden remembers that he was supposed to bring him back alive. That he promises why he brings him back to life. Chazar mitpalel alav nitrapeh. He davens for him and he gets healthy again. So now that's the end of the story. That relates to our Gemara, which is, that's the source. How did Rabbi Shimon Yochai know this answer? This is what Rabbi Matthew ben Charash says. He knew it from Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi over here. Because in this story, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi is the one who answers. And that's how Rabbi Shimon Yochai got that information. So then, Yatzali Kvato ben Tamalion. So coming, as they're coming in, approaching Rome, the ben Tamalion comes to greet them, who is a shade. So Ritzon Cham Avoy Mechem. Says, listen, can I accompany you to help you out on this situation? So, Bocha, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Yochai bursts out crying, Vamar, Mashivcha shel Beit Abad nizdamen l'malach shalosh pi'amim. When it comes to a maidservant of our forefathers, meaning Avram Avinu, we're talking about Hagar here, a malach appears to speak to her three times. V'ani lo pamachat. I don't even get a malach to greet me, I get this shade that comes to greet me. So he says, Yavenu anes mikom makom. Says, whatever. I'll take whatever it is. If this is how the miracle is going to happen, I'll take it. Kadimu, he went ahead. Ben Tamalion went ahead. And Albi Brati de Kesar. He possessed the daughter of the Kesar. Kimata Hatam. So then, Rabbi Shimon Yochai shows up and the rescue team comes. And Amar, he says, Ben Tamalion say, Ben Tamalion say. Rabbi Tosfot says, he said it in an undertone. He says, Ben Tamalion, get out, get out. Because he knew who was the shade that was in there. Came into Korilei Nafak. And when he called his name, he came out. So therefore he cured the daughter of the Kesar. Azal Amr Lahon, Shilu Komadi Itlachon. You get whatever you wish. The Mishal, Valino the Ginze, Lishkol Kol Debo. Took him into the storehouses, the treasury of the Caesar, and said, you can take whatever you want. Ashkehu Ha'igra, they found this decree, Shaklua Avikarua. They took it and they ripped it up in order to nullify the decree. So that's what they got out of it. V'haynu damar Rabbi Elozer b'Rabbi Yosi. And this is what Rabbi Elozer b'Rabbi Yosi says in another place, meaning in Yoma. This he says this, Ani Ritia, I was in Be'ir Romi, I was in Rome, I saw the parochet. V'avalakim etipei damim. And on it were spots of blood. So Rabbi Elozer b'Yosi, they're talking about the fact that he saw the parochet that was taken by the Romans by the destruction of the Mikdash. And I saw on it blood in a matzlif, in a line along the parochet. Now, I'll explain to you the Gemara, I'll explain to you how Rashi says it's very difficult. It's always bothered me, this Gemara. He says that the Kohen Gadol, when he used to sprinkle the blood before the parochet, it splashed onto the parochet. So when it splashed onto the parochet, we know how the Kohen Gadol puts the blood. He has to do in a row. He has to do achat amalo, sheva lamato, right? One up, seven down, but he doesn't keep matzlif. Kimatzliv is like the way they did the makot, comes down, he does it in a line in front of the parochet on the floor. That's where the problem comes up. Now, he says, I saw in the parochet the dam in a line like it would be. So now what you have to say is that the dam splashed off the floor and hit the parochet. So Rabbi Elozer basically said, I saw that dam on the parochet and it was in a line like a matzliv, like you would see when someone put it in an order when they're doing a whipping or doing makot. The problem is, that why was it a kimatzlif on the parochet? The only reason the dam was on the parochet at all was because it splashed. It was done on the floor. The dam, the zata dam that was done in the heichal, outside of the parochet, was done on the floor in front of the parochet. The only reason dam got onto the parochet is because it splashed. So now you're going to suggest that it splashed exactly in a line like a matzlif? Makes sense if you shot the blood right onto the parochet that it was kimatzlif and that's what it looked like. But they say there was dam on the parochet kimatzlif because it bounced off the floor, splashed onto it, and it was exactly in a line. That seems to me to be a little more far-fetched. But that's exactly what Rabbi Elozer b'Rabbi Yosi says. I saw it, and therefore I can tell you that's exactly how they did it. They hazayat adam in before the parochet, because I saw what the parochet looked like. And we don't find Rabbi Elozer b'Rabbi Yosi in Rome any other time. And therefore the Gemara says, this is the story where Rabbi Elozer b'Rabbi Yosi was in the Ginzei HaMelech, and he saw the parochet in the Ginzei HaMelech.
Doing there.
The Romans had destroyed the Mikdash and taken off with it. Yeah. Alright, next Mishnah. Pigul and notar not mitzterim because they're two different isurim. Asheretz ve'nevela. Asheretz ve'nevela v'chen ve'nevela v'basar ha'meit. And nevela and basar ha'meit ein mitzterim zeim zeilu tamei afilu b'kal shebneihem. They're not mitzterim that we already know from the previous Mishnah because these all have different shiurim or different dinei tum'ah. Nevertheless, they're not even mitzdareif le'tamei afilu shebekal shebehen. The lower of the two, the lower common denominator. You would have thought, okay, maybe they're not mitzdareif to get to the higher shear. But they are mitzdareif to get to the lower shear. The answer is no. Even the lower of the two, it's not mitzdareif. Samri Yudah Meshmol lo shanu ela le'tum'at hayadayim dimirabanani. When we say they're not mitzdareif over here, that's what we're talking about, tum'at yadayim, which is a dindirabanan. Avalim yan achila mitzdarfim. When it comes to achila, they are mitzdareif. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, lo yachel ki kodesh hu, kosh v'kodesh, pasul, bakatuv liten lo tase achilato. So when you think about siruf, the gabei tuma, over here we say all these items are not mitzdareif, the pigul, the notar are not mitzdareif, because pigul and notar are shnei shemot. And it's gzera derabanan, the gzera derabanan is that pigul and notar are mitamei, because Atzlei Kuhuna, or Chashtei Kuhuna, whatever the reason was, the Gemara Pesachim discusses, that the Chachamim were gozer, that Pigol and Notar were mitamei yadai ha-Kohanim, in order to make it difficult for the Kohanim to have Pigol and Notar around, that would prevent them from doing it. So either because they were Atzlanim, to prevent them from being lazy, it would force them to eat it, or from preventing the Chashtei Kuhuna, people would make it into Pigol to hurt other people, so therefore he made it tamei, that would be a problem for Kohen. The Kohen would have nothing to eat. Once it becomes tamei, he can't eat anything. He can't eat the Kodshim, he can't eat the Truma. So therefore, in a dindirabanan, when it's all a gzeira, they kept them separate. Pigul notar is separate. When it comes to the achila pigul notar, how do you know that they're problematic? The achila pigul notar comes from a single pasuk that's found in Pashat Tetzaveh, which says, lo yachol ki kodeshu. Anything that is kodesh, lo yachol, you're not allowed to eat. So kol should be kodesh, pasul, anything that has a problem in kodesh, ba katuv liten lotasei achilato. The Torah comes to give a lotasei on that eating. And that means any type of code. They're all one category. Pigul and notar are one category. There are kodshim that are pasul. So therefore, when you say lo yochol kikodeshu, if it's learned out of that single azara, they can't be mitzdareif in that case. Now Rashi brings down Amar Li Rebbe. My Rebbe says, how do you determine what you're chayav for? So he says, if the rov is pigul, then you're chayav pigul. If the rov is notar, then you're chayav for notar. If it's chetzi chetzi, you're chayav for both. That's where it says in Rashi. If you look, the Tzon Kodoshim amends it and says, doesn't mean that you're chayav on both, means you're chayav on either. That whatever one you give him a trough for, he'll be chayav for. So if it's a half and half, if you give him a trough for bigul, if you give him a trough for notar, whichever one you give him, that will be what he is chayav for. Okay, now, next Mishnah, Ochel, Shnitma ba'avatuma. Ochel, food that became tamei ba'avatuma, Shnitma ba'vladatuma. And you have another piece of Ochel that was tamei ba'rishonatuma, mitztarfim imzeim ze, the tamei shebekal shemenehem. They are mitztaref to be metamei, like the lower of the two. That means an avatuma that touched Ochel makes it into a Rishon Latuma. A Vlada Tuma, which is a Rishon Latuma that touches Ochel, makes it into a Sheni Latuma. That means now you have a Rishon and a Sheni. They are Mitzdarif to make it into a Sheni Latuma. Kol Ochlim Mitzdarfim Zeim Zev Lifsola Gvia. Bechatzi Pras. All Ochlim are Mitzdarif, meaning Ochlim Tmeim. That if you consume them or eat them, there's a Dindra Banan that it's Posel the Gvia that makes you Tamei. The amount that is a Chatzi Pras, half a loaf of bread. Kemazon shtei suldot eruv, or the two suldot that you need for an eruv to make an eruv chazerot or an eruv tchumim, the amount that you need shtei suldot, all ochel is mitzdareif. Kebeitza the tamei tumat ochlim, in order to pass on tuma from ochlim, you need the size of a kebeitza. All ochel is mitzdareif. Grogeret lotzat shabbat, on shabbat carrying ochel on shabbat has to be the size of a grogeret, a dried fig. Any food can be that size or be mitzdareif. Kotevet gasa, which is a date, fat date. B'yom HaKippurim, that's the amount that you have to eat in order to be violation of Inu Yom Kippur. Any, all foods are mitzdareif together to make up that shiur. Kol HaMashkim mitzdareifim zu im zu. All liquids are mitzdareif. Lifsolet viyah, again, this is a din derabanan b'revi'it. If you consume a revi'it of tamei liquids, you make your body tamei. Just like before, when you eat foods that are tamei of a chatzi pras, you're also tamei. Ukmalei lugmav b'yom HaKippurim. And the more lugmav, which is the problem, a cheekful of liquid, which is a problem for the Inu Yom Kippur of drinking, all liquids are mitzdareif together to make up them lomukav. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon, Omer Matam, what's the reason Jeff Shadosh Sheni Shiase Rishon? What's the reason that this Rishon and Sheni are mitzdareif to make it into a Sheni? Because a Sheni can make a Rishon. Or it says, what do you mean? Mikav and Sheni Rishon. Since when does a Sheni Tuma make something into a Rishon the Tuma? Halo Efshar, it's impossible. We never find, Tuma doesn't even move sideways. I mean, you get a Sheni, doesn't make a Sheni. Forget about a Sheni making it into a Rishon, that doesn't make sense. Marova Achikamar, Mikaram the Sheni, Lav Rishon. What caused the Sheni? Must have been a Rishon. Ravashi Amar, Rishon the Sheni, the Gabe Shlishi, Bnei Chada Bikta Ninu. When it looks like from a Shlishi the Tuma, Rishon and Sheni can both cause it. Now Rashi says that there's no difference between these two opinions. They're saying the same thing, they just say it in a different way. And that is, basically, I would say it this way. Rashi says it in a way that to me it makes so much sense because it seems to be, from the way he's describing it, that they're both be a Rishon Tumah. Subsumed within a Rishon Tumah is a Sheni the Tumah. I mean, a Rishon Tumah is both a Rishon Tumah and a Sheni the Tumah. Because a Rishon can make something into a Sheni that will make something into a Shlishi. So a Rishon Tumah is a Sheni plus. So therefore, if I have a Rishon and a Sheni coming together, they'll be mitzdareif, because I have Sheni, and I have Sheni plus. So the Sheni and Sheni will come together. The plus, okay, that doesn't work, because that's the Rishon part. I think that's the way to look at it, or the other way it's phrased is that they can both make a Shlishi the Tumah. A Sheni makes a Shlishi, and a Rishon makes a Sheni, which makes a Shlishi, so they have the capability of making it. So they share something in common. That commonality is what allows them to be mitzdareif to the Kalashibahen. Okay, we'll step over here.